Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
And now, a presentation on the Mental Health News Radio Network. The Outer Limits of Inner Truth Radio Show.
Ryan, that is a freaking awesome question.
You are the power, and you do not need anybody's permission.
He's the only guy that ever crawled out of a grave where people didn't go, oh, ah!
Don't worry, don't be afraid, ever,
because this is just a ride.
You're a great interviewer. You're one of the best.
If this is the best God can do, I am not impressed.
Today, our featured guest on Outer Limits of Inner Truth is an individual who's coming back for the second time. Very happy to have him back. His name is Michael Monk. He is a world-renowned healer and teacher of spirituality, metaphysics, and energy mastery with a focus on devotion to God. You learn more about Michael by going to his website at michaelmonk.com. Michael, how are you?
Doing really good. It's actually michaelmonk.bio. It's a bio site. Yeah.
Michaelmonk.bio. Okay, we'll make sure we have the correction. So, Michael, right at the top, can you tell us a little about your school?
Sure. Well, I've been at this this journey for over 20 years, but I've been a teacher in the public since 2011. I first came forwards with an energy mastery online school that I called Avatar Energy Mastery. And well, the focus was opening people up to an authentic connection to their true being, which is we are spirit. You know, we're in a physical body, but that's temporary. And the eternal truth is that we are spirit, which naturally manifests as radiant energy or living light. So the idea behind the school is to tune into that fact and to gain what people call extrasensory perception through focus exercises and meditations that allow you to perceive data that's outside the normal range of the five senses, which are force-fed to us through the nervous system of the human body and the neuron structure of the brain. I'm known for my ability and my willingness to do demonstrations in public and upload them to YouTube, demonstrations of telekinesis, weather control, healing people, and I was one of the forefathers that started the whole telekinetic movement on YouTube back in 2011. And so the goal of that school was to make an authentic connection to your spirit, to learn to travel inside and outside of the body. And then the secondary goal was to gain enough spiritual presence within your body to where you could expand in oneness and to know yourself as being one with, or literally being your surroundings, because everything external has an internal relationship to us. Once you achieve that, you naturally start to become telekinetic in various degrees. You just notice that the wind will respond to you, the weather will respond to you, people will respond to you in terms of healing. So as an energy master, we're inside and outside of our body at the same time and able to be one with anything external to us. And so that's what the Avatar Energy Mastery School is, which that can be accessed through the bio site, michaelmonk.bio, is like my parent site, which leads to my two areas of interest, which one being Avatar, and the second is where my focus to devotion to God, some people call it creator. Mm-hmm. I want people to understand that I don't have like a traditional churchy, like a biblical understanding of God. It's more of a collective consciousness, energetic, metaphysical understanding. So to me, to put it in simple terms, God is like the ultimate higher self of all of humanity, a singular consciousness that knows itself as literally being all of us simultaneously, and it surrounds the universal creation in consciousness and oversees it, you know, tends to it like a garden. So that's been my focus for the last 5 years, because I came into a high level of communication with this part of our collective consciousness. And it started to activate me and accelerate my consciousness in ways that I wasn't able to obtain through my own process of meditation and self-mastery. And it was so profound that I developed a whole practice around it. And I share that information through my new medium, which I call the Metaphysical Church of the Tree of Life. The web address of that is accessed through the bio site or at mctol.org. In that, we have a members area and a learning group with curriculum. I mix the education and energy mastery, which is very important. It's actually a prerequisite to having a true relationship with God, and not what I call a confused relationship with God, because God dwells in consciousness and in spirit.
I have so many questions to ask you. The first one is, when it comes to telekinesis, that has been a dream of mine, to be able to influence physical reality, physical matter. To do that, to begin to master that, how are you able to, how can one begin that? And how do you begin to influence physical matter within this plane of existence that we're on?
Sure. Yeah, I definitely have an answer for that. First of all, though, I want to say that I'm not a master of it, and humanity at their current level of development, nobody is a telekinetic master. We have a degree of influence on things beyond the skin of our body, but it's mild to moderate at best, but it is demonstrable. And in these demonstrations, it's very clear and very obvious that we have a mental degree of influence over the elements that are past our body. So the way that works is, to speak in scientific terms, our consciousness is undeniably electromagnetic. We have a nervous system in the human body, neuron structure in the brain, and wherever we have an electrical connection in our body, we're able to get sensory information that reinforces the idea that this body is ourself and that we can control it. Because we have a mental connection through the electrical system of the body responds to our consciousness, and we're able to control it. So that's the prerequisite to becoming telekinetic, is to expand your awareness. And once again, to use scientific terms, because I like to relate it to practical understanding so that it can be easier for people to understand this. But the electromagnetic field of our beating heart is scientifically measurable, and it goes many, many feet beyond the skin of our body. Most people have seen the picture of the toroidal heart field. It goes way beyond the human body.
Does it go beyond the 6 feet that they were trying to trap us in, the whole COVID idiocy?
It connects to the infinite. Through the heart, it becomes infinite. But just to use physical terms, so that people can understand how this happens scientifically, is that, once again, our consciousness is undeniably electromagnetic. It's just locked inside of the nervous system, being force-fed through the five senses. Well, through the practice of energy mastery, we do focus exercises and awareness expansion, where through our own power of beingness and observation, or I am-ness, we're able to fill our nervous system with so much awareness that there's a magical moment that happens where you start to swell beyond the nervous system and into contact with the electrical energy of your heart field. So it's like we have a wired connection inside of the body that allows us to interact with, control, and feel the body as being a part of ourself. Well, the electromagnetic field of the heart is like our wireless connection to everything. It's like our spiritual Wi-Fi. So it's not too big of a bridge for a logical mind to gap, to say, well, yeah, this is undeniably true. So through a rather moderate feat of mental mastery, any human being can learn to make a mental connection to the electromagnetic field of the heart. And that's when all of the magic happens. That's when you start getting extrasensory feedback from beyond the skin of the body. So you start to feel beyond the skin of the body. You start to hear past the range of the ears. You start to see past the range of the eyesight, and taste and smell. Basically, what the sixth sense is, an extended range of the five senses, as well as an overlap.
Okay.
Like what you see, you can feel. What you hear, you can also feel or taste, touch. All the senses, since they're based on vibration, begin to overlap at higher levels of consciousness.
So in order to expand on that, does that require that you have your heart chakra aligned and balanced? And also, if you are going to begin to perceive or receive more knowledge or more like at least intuitive, the sixth sense, does your vibration have to be at the same level of the same physical conscious being or non-physical conscious area that you are in order for it to be a match, in order for you to understand or to feel the perception?
Okay. I'll answer both of those. It's important to understand that all of these answers, they're not black and white, or they're not digital. It's not one or the other. It's an analog. There's an in-between. So you asked if the heart chakra must be in balance in order for you to come into alignment with your field. The answer to that would be it helps. But no, it is not necessary. You could be totally out of alignment in the heart, and through a legitimate feat of consciousness, through your own focused exercises, you could still obtain a unity with the electromagnetic energy of your heart. However, having your heart chakra balanced and in alignment would make that bridge a lot easier to cross. And the same thing is true with telepathic communications with higher layers of our own being. And I want people to understand that the universe is one being. It's one giant soul of which we are all a part of. So extraterrestrial consciousness, angelic consciousness, even demonic or types of consciousness, they're all a part of the self. It's all intrinsically connected. So it is far more likely for you to communicate with higher beings or higher levels of the self if your vibration is a close match. But no, it is not required. Through a feat of consciousness, either through your own self or the higher being, can bridge the difference, the variance in vibration through the veil. So it's far more likely, but not absolutely necessary.
Okay. When I look at my body and I move, it's kind of strange. It's like I move my hands and I'm moving up and down, and here I am just doing it kind of effortlessly. But at the same time, in order to influence any kind of control over physical matter beyond this body, it seems to be particularly challenging on there. So what are some of the ways that you can accelerate the process you just described, getting into your heart? Is it meditation? Is it discarding ego? Is it purifying the body of any kind of toxins that are a lower vibrational frequency? What are some of the best methods that you've come across that allow you to get into that space that you just described and really begin to, let's say, reveal and start to show telekinesis?
Sure. Well, all of those things help. The food that you eat, the diet that you have, decalcifying the pineal gland, staying away from fluoride, these things make it far more likely that you will bridge that gap, but it's absolutely not necessary. It's not how it happened for me. Mine was a very spontaneous awakening that just freaking happened.
If it's just one day, just all of a sudden, just how did it happen? And how would you describe it?
Pretty much. My very first spiritual experience was in 1999. I was watching a movie, a comedy movie, and just mindlessly enjoying it and laughing when all of a sudden I felt this tremendous vibration, pressure, and presence on what would be called the crown chakra. I had no idea what a crown chakra was back then, but I felt something, and it goes in through the top of my head. And the next thing I know, I can feel this incredible presence, and I tell my little brother who's sitting on the couch that, you know, something's happening, and the voice of God came to me at that point. And it was interesting because I could feel it in my mind, but I could also hear it in my ears. It sounded like an audible voice as well as a telepathic voice, but it instructed me to stand up, to turn the TV off, and to listen in. And when it did that, I did as was suggested, and then I went back into communication. And out of curiosity, you know, I was like, who is this communicating with me? And I thought maybe it was my grandfather because he had recently passed away. And so I said, Grandpa, is that you? And the voice flooded me with an audible yes, and like the shivers, you know, that go down your spine and through your body when you're in a sacred moment. But then I felt something else being communicated, like, you're missing something, Michael. There's something, there's more here than just your grandfather. And so I asked for my cousin, Jason, who had recently passed. And once again, the voice said yes and flooded me with that same feeling. But once again, well, there's something more. So I said, well, I'm confused. You're my grandfather and you're my cousin. You know, what's up with this? And at that point, the creator, God, source, whatever you want to call it, opened up my inner vision, and I had a third eye awakening, and I saw a vast host of humanoid-shaped light beings that were all connected together as one and were speaking to me as a singular voice. And that's when I realized that I was talking to God. And yeah, that was what started my whole journey.
And when you talked about God as the collective, I guess you call it the higher self of collective humanity,
yeah,
a lot of people will look at this experience on Earth and they won't be happy. And they'll say, why is there so much suffering and tragedy? I mean, you can't help but watch the news every day, wonder why, you know, a family that would be happy one day would experience such a horrible things that will happen. And yeah, so they'll ask, well, why would this be like? So from your perspective, from what you've come to know about God, from that perspective, why do these horrific things happen? Is there anything that you can do in order to, let's say, cancel soul agreements or that would allow that to happen, or to kind of block yourself off from the probability of a tragedy happening?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And that accelerates the further into this you go. So the most important thing to God is our free will, is our individuality, our ability to express ourselves as independent and individual beings. You've got to imagine a singular consciousness, like try to go back into the mind of God before the creation. So there's just you, and you are the creator, and you can feel inside of you that you're capable of anything, but you're all alone. So your first desire would be to create something other than yourself in order to interact with. And that started the whole process of creation. So the number one most important thing to God at all times is our free will and our individuality. And that's why Earth is protected by the laws of free will in this way. And the last being that will ever break its own rules is God. So we're in a free will collective consciousness that is growing, living, breathing, expressing itself through individuality within the very mind and the very body of God itself. And God will not tamper with that. So through the natural course of evolution and time on Earth, with humanity expressing their free will, those that have gained power and authority and spiritual understanding have chosen to set up what I would consider to be a negatively oriented hierarchy of domination and control. And there's also some extraterrestrial influence that is a part of all of that. So humanity has been surrounded etherically, but by a veil or a fog of negatively oriented collective consciousness that does not celebrate the individuality and the free will of each being, and has an agenda of domination and of holding down. Like the last thing they want is a bunch of people awakening to higher consciousness. So that is exactly why every bad thing happens in the world, and why people who don't believe in God say, how could God allow this to happen? How could God allow that to happen? Well, once again, our free will, our individuality is almost infinitely more important to God than our happiness.
Okay.
Because we will be happy someday. We will figure it out one day, and God is eternal. But what's more important is that we grow in our individuality, our self-expression, so that one day we can come face to face with our Creator and be able to hold our own, to be able to actually have a conversation with God instead of being sucked into that magnetism and the oneness so much that you would cease to exist and there would only be God.
Yeah, very fascinating answer, and I love how you explain that. But you're looking at the planet right now. I like to bring this up and talk about the amount of it's like totalitarianism seems to be growing, or it's much more visible that it's out there right now. And there's a small group of people that are trying to control everyone. They're trying to kill off a bunch of people. So I mean, I wonder if they're using their free will is like, okay, well we have free will, so we want to kill everyone and suppress everyone.
That's
so
right.
Because of that's happening, isn't that going against God in the sense that it's all these other people that are on the planet? Well, they want to have the free will to decide life for themselves, and the small percentage of people are suppressing that, and they're trying to control them and dominate them. Where does this all lead to? From
right.
your perspective, from an energetic perspective, does this look like the evil will triumph, and this is part of the process for people to go through right now? Or does humanity eventually triumph? Because I'm really trying to get into this thing, and I'm always trying to find people who are sensitive to look at the energetic picture of the planet right now. Because it just seems like things are really surreal. I remember years ago, life on Earth was a lot different. It was a different feeling. It was a different morality of the people. There was all those opportunities. There was so much less technology. It was beautiful, quite frankly. I long for the days when we didn't have cell phones. But how do you feel about that?
Well, you suggested that wouldn't they be going against God? And the answer is yes and no. Although God would much prefer that they would use their free will and their position of power to enrich and to nurture and to enlighten and to lift up, it's the honoring of the free will of these beings is massively more important to God. So God will not break the law of free will to fix everything and to solve it. So for this problem to get solved, it will take free will from within our collective. It will take individual humans rising up into spiritual power and spiritual authority, taking control of their reality and tuning to the right frequencies to where we can literally like shift our consciousness into a whole different version of Earth itself. So it will take free will from within the collective. Now, will they triumph? That's a loaded question, especially when you understand parallel realities and timeline shifts and all of that. There's a good chance that they will triumph while we triumph at the same time. Like if we were to right now, collectively, the good-hearted pure people of Earth, if we were to collectively shift into a more celestial, divinely oriented timeline, then those who cannot or will not hold that frequency, they would not shift with us. So they would still be on the timeline, the parallel reality that they know of, and on that parallel, they very well might pull off all of their evil plans and think that they mastered the universe and be completely unaware of this whole other side of humanity that went in a different direction and is experiencing something far more beautiful. It might very well also be, because these are both metaphysically possible, that evil would be consumed by the light and destroyed as this greater energies are brought in collectively to humanity. The one thing that remains is that it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant to us. If they're no longer on our timeline, then it's completely irrelevant whether they're off in some corner of the universe experiencing their own parallel or not. All that matters is that we have shifted. We have transcended into a divine type of eternally sustainable lifestyle.
I'm so glad you brought that up. I've actually, this is something that it's coming up more. So I feel it's something that's probably important to bring up, but it's the switching timelines. I feel I've done this at least once or twice in my life where my life is going one direction and I did something and I switched and I went to a totally different direction, and whatever direction I'm on, I want to stay on. But at the same time, I long to be with people like you and other people who are like-minded, who love freedom and just kind of exist in the world and create more. And I don't want to be in this reality where, you know, it's just a fundamentally sick society. It seems like it's getting progressively sicker. And I am like, okay, if that society wants to devolve and become more demonic, okay, let it do it. But I don't want to be a part of it. I want to kind of go over here. So is there anything that people can, there's two questions. One, why would people do not have that type of frequency in their heart, that evil frequency in their heart? Why are they on the same plane of existence as those that do? And also, mm-hmm. is there any way we can get out of this? Is there any doorway that we can get out to move in that direction? Because I just want to, you know, go with people who are like-minded, who are like some heart centered, and move and go somewhere else and kind of watch this world right now on TV. This will be my new reality TV show that I'll watch every week.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I feel you there. Okay, mm-hmm. So there's some understandings that are important to have. In spirit, we are in incarnation. And what that means, scientifically speaking, is that our spirit, which is energy, our consciousness, which is normally free-flowing, is locked inside of the body. And it's done so because of the nervous system of the human body. The electrical activity in the nervous system and in the brain is of a greater intensity. It's of a greater density than the subtle spiritual energy from which we came. So when you incarnate into a body, your spirit, which is normally in oneness and free flowing, your consciousness went inside of the body and got locked through entrainment into the nervous system, because the data that comes through the five senses, once again, is of a greater electrical intensity than the subtle spiritual energy of which we came from. So right away, we were massively entrained or hypnotized by the nervous system of the human body. To give another example, if you're holding your left hand out and there's a drop of water falling on it, like maybe one little drop every 2 seconds, you would definitely notice that. But then if somebody came to the side of you and started hitting your head with a ball peen hammer once every 2 or 3 seconds, you wouldn't feel the water anymore, because a greater sensory impact is happening to you. So that's why we temporarily lose contact or even awareness entirely of our spiritual nature, is because of the nervous system of the human body. So that same mechanism of incarnation is what literally forces all of us to interact in collective consciousness, with positive and negative polarities. If we were in pure spirit right now, if we were not in our physical body, it would be impossible for beings of light to interact with beings of darkness, or beings of evil to interact with beings of good, because the vibrations would separate them. But the one thing we all have in common here is we all have a nervous system. We all have neuron structures in the brain, and these all receive sensory data in the same exact range of vibration. So two spirits can be in two completely different frequencies, but if these two spirits are both embodied in a human electrical nervous system, then they're going to be forced to physically co-create with each other until some moment where with enough spiritual mastery, with enough conscious presence within your body, with enough meditation and focus exercises, you begin to bring more and more of your limitless potential inside of the body, and your spirit starts to overwhelm your nervous system. whereas at first the nervous system is overwhelming the spirit. And that links into your questions about the telekinesis. That's what makes all of these fantastical things, the healing of other people and all the miracles that we experience possible. So it's that mechanism that is literally forcing us to co-create with people that are not like us. But as we spiritualize as a race, which, by the way, is inevitable. It's like an oven set on a timer. It's going to happen, period. Even if people don't meditate, even if people do no spiritual practice whatsoever, at some point, and not actually too far off, we're going to have a collective awakening. Well, the good news is we are meditating, we are praying, we are doing focus exercises, we are choosing to be devoted to God or to a higher self or to a higher nature or a higher purpose. And we are bringing more and more of our awareness into the here and the now. So our spirits are gaining more and more influence over the physical body. So we will reach inevitably, either sooner or later, but those of us that are polarized in the same direction of positive momentum, we will reach a point where collectively our spirits will overwhelm the force-fed electrical system through the human body, and we will do what spirits naturally do, which is the inside equals the outside. Whatever you hold,
that's awesome.
Inside is what you experience on the outside when you're in an out-of-body experience. But when you're here in the physical, that's not the case. Like, your internal can affect or influence the physical reality, but it will not just rearrange it at a molecular level and turn it into something else entirely. But in spirit, that is the natural way that things work. So we are spiritualizing the physical vessel. And through meditation, through focus exercises combined with prayer and communion, you can greatly accelerate this process.
Thank you for your answer. And I want to, two-part question to come back for that. First off, Nancy Danison, who's been on our show at least 10 times, she had a profound near-death experience. She died and she actually returned to source. She said she was actually one with God. And that's when she had her death experience, she said that's when she realized that it's all one consciousness, and she called it source. And when she came back, she was saying that how humans are animals, and that we're just, you have to get more spirit within the body in order to have more compassion and basically, you know, live more spiritual. But in terms of getting the spirit in the body, meditation aside, are there any other exercises that will accelerate that? Because I got to tell you, Michael, I personally have a difficult time sitting. I'm not one of those, I mean, I'm addicted to, I'd say I'm a little bit addicted to the phone because I'm always work,
sure.
But I can actually go for walks and not listen to anything and not be overly distracted. But what are some of the best ways, meditation aside, that accelerate the process of your spirit getting more within your body and becoming more
It's focused. So in my Energy Mastery School and in the Metaphysical Church, I teach two ways to reach communion, which is authentic connection with your spiritual presence and with the higher forces in the universe. So one way is meditation. We're not going to focus on that, but it's important to understand what meditation is letting go. Meditation is like the opposite of focus. It's the opposite it's by tuning out the information that's coming in through the body through theta meditations and relaxing your awareness. You can disconnect from the electrical information of the nervous system to such a degree that all of a sudden your spirit becomes apparent to your consciousness. Like people do deep theta meditations, they go into waking sleep paralysis. Once the nervous system shuts down, then boom, your spirit lights up and there you are. Because that's what you always have been and what you always will be is energy. So if people that aren't good at meditation, the good news on that is you can use the opposite of meditation, which is even more profound, which I call focus. So most of the exercises that I teach are standing on your feet with your eyes open, focused and dialed into the physical reality. And it's all about the power of observation. Like, we've had a lot of great teachers come forward that talk about the power of now, the power of now. It's all now. We keep hearing this word. It's all now. And I am. And we hear these words, and we know there's something really profound to that. So what that is the human consciousness is unique over the animal consciousness, because we can perceive time. So we're able to have our mental consciousness in the past and in the future. Unfortunately, we've gotten stuck there. Like, we're always in the past and in the future, blah, 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 all day. All these thoughts running through your mind either have something to do with the past or with the future. But with enough focus, you can subtract that, and you can come into the now and simply observe through presence mastery what is happening inside your body right now. And that's done through sensory observation. What are you feeling right now? And it really is that simple. You turn the eye inward and you observe to the best of your capacity what is happening within the human body. And with enough I amness, with enough presence, with enough focus in the here and now, the physical experience starts to spiritualize. And that's because your consciousness is swelling beyond the information force-fed through the nervous system. Okay, so that information is happening all the time, and it's keeping us distracted. Well, if you can observe enough of it to where you actually fill your nervous system with your beingness, you will quite naturally and spontaneously burst your bubble, and your awareness will expand, and the physical experience that you're starting to have will become a spiritual experience of authentic oneness. And because you achieved it through focus instead of meditation, you'll be more like in gamma brainwaves instead of lowered brainwaves like theta. So you'll be in like a type of hyper consciousness. Now, the mind is tricky, because the mind not only likes to stay busy, but I've found that the mind pretty much is supposed to stay busy. Our mind is supposed to be highly active, but we're not supposed to be trapped in our ego thoughts and locked in the past and in the future. So in my school of thought, both the Metaphysical Church and the Energy Mastery School, I teach people how to devote their mental consciousness to observation of sensory information through extrasensory perception. Through expanding your consciousness, you learn to see above and below the rainbow spectrum. And then all of a sudden, people have auras that you can see. Living things give off a glow, a type of light. You can see energy particles in the air. All of a sudden, there becomes a lot of brand new, wonderful, magical data for you to observe with your mind. Your sense of touch swells beyond your skin, and you start to feel the air as though it's a part of your body. So once this magic starts to happen, your mind now has something new to keep it busy with, which is all this magical extended sensory information. So it's almost like, to use Star Wars as an example, it's like a Jedi way of life. Instead of keeping your mind busy with what you're thinking, you devote your mind to what you are feeling. And that will lead to a sensory connection, intimate, not only within yourself, but also outside of yourself. And once you have that, that's when the big magic starts happening, because you just know the right thing to say to the right person at the right time. You don't ever have to pre-plan your speech in any way, shape, or form. You will be given impetus or impulse from spirit, from source, from everything, and you will just know the right thing to say at the right time. You'll know the right action to take at the right time. So you won't have to keep yourself busy in the beta brainwaves going, oh, he said, she said, okay, got to do this next, that next. It will all just naturally come to you in the moment. And a big part of that is the divine synchronicity that's happening everywhere. And that's the mind of the creator working through all of us simultaneously. So when you come into this expanded consciousness and you start to become aware of all of the magic and the miracles that are happening everywhere, everything starts to become connected by synchronicity. So everything starts to just work out correctly, and you automatically fulfill not only your destiny, but when you're in synchronicity, you automatically assist all others in fulfilling their destiny as well.
So amazing. I love your answer in your stream of consciousness. It's just, there's so many things that are happening. First off, let me just say that my old teacher, Stuart Wild, metaphysical teacher, he used to talk about the theta metronome. He used to listen to those all the time. He would say, if you listen to that, then you'd be able to perceive other realities. And he was always talking about alternative realities as being right aligned with us. And in addition to that, we were talking about the gamma brainwave frequency. I've talked to at least two psychic mediums who say that that's kind of like the frequency that they're on. They have the heightened perception. So, yes. I mean, it's just really amazing. And when you're doing that, do you have to train? Does your brain, if you're doing that for a prolonged period of time, you basically train your brain to shut off in that? Or is it something you have to practice at? Or can you automatically just do it maybe once or twice and start to receive and perceive information if you're focusing specifically on the feelings?
Yeah, exactly. So in the process of energy mastery and consciousness expansion, we evolve in both directions. So I teach meditation, which in my definition is lowering the brainwaves so that you perceive less and less of the electrical data. And if you can reach theta brainwaves while you're still awake, like normally a human only experiences theta brainwaves when they're in deep sleep and in REM, in REM. So normally a human being only experiences theta in the deep dream state. Well, if you can train yourself to go into theta brainwaves while your consciousness is awake, you will perceive in fullness your authentic spiritual connection to yourself and to all things. It just naturally happens. So I teach meditation to lower the brainwaves. And then we also work on focus, on presence mastery, on observation of the sensory data until you peek past that and go into the gamma brainwaves and become connected to everything else. And you gain control over this. It's like a dial. Like everything, like I said at the beginning of the interview, it's not black and white. It's not on and off. It's not ones and zeros. It's not digital. It's analog. So in your path of mastery, you're going to gain control of this analog dial, and you at will be able to lower your brain waves even down to zero. I can literally cease mental activity entirely, or I can tune that up and go into gamma and experience more of what I want. I have control of my mind. It does not have control of me. And that's one of the primary things that you learn. It takes a little bit of time and some devotion, but usually students begin to gain control of their mind within 1 to 3 years. And it's a great tool, but it's been masquerading as our identity for a very long time. But the mind is a tool that our consciousness uses. And that becomes apparent when you're on the path to mastery. And you gain the ability to think at will, to just only think when you absolutely want to think, and worthy thoughts. Like a worthy thought to me is, what do I want to eat for dinner? That's a worthy thought, not what's the meaning of life, or what did he say, or what did she say? Because the answers to these greater philosophical questions don't come to you through that channel anyhow. They come through spirit. They come through the higher self, which isn't accessed in that direction. So the mind still has its uses. It helps me to navigate choices that I make in my daily life, like who do I want to spend my time with, and what would I like to eat, what movie would I like to watch, like things like that I use my mind for. But I don't ever go into he said, she said, what am I going to do next? I don't ping pong back and forth, because I have trained my mind to stay busy with observation of the sensory information. So you gain a control over that, and a freedom from the ego-based consciousness, which is riding those echoes in the past and the future, constantly, always thinking about yourself, about your life, about your relationship to the world, about what you have to do next. That all gets replaced by an ocean of calm and stillness and peace that is your true beingness, which you can then tune into higher and lower ranges of vibration and observation.
Michael, it's awesome. Thank you for that answer. And
you're welcome.
You know, it just fun. Really fascinating. And again, we've talked a lot about some of the ways that people can increase their intensity, their awareness. You know, talking about focusing on the feelings. When it comes to the health of the brain, I've been doing some things. I've been taking this stuff called ginkgo, and I've noticed that I think faster. And I've noticed that since I've taken a little bit of a break from alcohol, my thinking has changed. But I also say that if I have cannabis, my thinking is actually very clear on a lot of this point. So, from your perspective, what should we be doing? Are there any supplements we could be taking? Are there any foods we should avoid, or anything we should avoid that'll put our brains, our minds, in an optimal state to be on this path that you described?
Okay. I will honestly state here and now that the single most valuable tool that I have encountered, apart from meditation and focus, is the use of cannabis while in meditation and focus. I believe with all of my heart that cannabis is an extremely sacred herb that God has given us and is an incredible tool to assist us in reaching this development. And for several reasons, but a primary one that I want people to understand is that cannabis doesn't take you there. Like if you have some LSD or you take some mushrooms or you have DMT or ayahuasca, this is all going to open up. Like your consciousness is going to accelerate and you're going to experience things whether you like it or not. But if you have a little bit of cannabis, that doesn't happen unless you apply meditation and focus. So with hallucinogenics, they opened the door, but it was the hallucinogenic that opened the door. So once you come down from the hallucinogenic, that door shuts and you don't know how to reopen it. With cannabis, it just oils the hinges a little bit so that your own efforts in meditation are, to use mathematics, approximately 60 to 80% more effective if you use cannabis in combination with your meditations. And yeah, I openly share and teach that in my Energy Mastery course, that those students who are willing to consciously use cannabis in their training are going to tend to have a significant, highly significant amount more success than those who, for whatever reason, refuse to use it. But one of the most common ones is, well, I want to do this all naturally. Well, isn't cannabis from nature?
Yeah. And is there any style? Should it be sativa? Should it be indica? Or any type that you particularly recommend?
They both have their benefits. Okay. Sativa will connect you a little bit better to your body, and indica will connect you a little bit better to your etheric. So they both have their pluses and minuses.
When it comes to diet, if you eat meat or you're vegan, does that have any impact on your vibration? Because when I took ayahuasca, one of the last times I took it, I couldn't eat meat anymore. I would have it and I would feel the fear. I'd feel horrible when I was eating it. And it was just, and I, ever since I stopped it, I feel so much better. That's just me. So from your perspective,
I think everybody's different in that regard. For me, it doesn't make it any difference. But I would say once again that this is like the dial that I was talking about. If you're on a very clean vegan diet, it will be easier for you to open up certain things, but it's not absolute. It's not digital. I have obtained extremely high states of reality with meat in my digestive system. And I've also, I've played around with the vegan diet. So I've done, you know, the experiences. And for me, it makes no difference. But I do not doubt that for others that it might make a difference. So it, you know, everybody's different in that regard. And I wouldn't want to tell people how they should live their life in terms of dietary choices.
You know, Michael, I want to say that I'm going to your website again, michaelmonk.bio. You're talking about your path and your journey. And there's one thing that really stands out. I mean, a lot of things stand out, but one of them is you actually discuss how you had a fall from grace. And most people would never reveal that. They would only want to put forward only things that make them look good, but you were kind of very open about it. And can you please talk about that? Because maybe if somebody goes on this path and they become very sensitive and they start having an influx of awareness that they've never done before, I wonder if maybe it'll change them. Can you please talk about that experience and what you learned from this and how that experience fundamentally changed you?
I will, but I don't want to go too deep into that because it's very sensitive to me.
We don't have to go through it at all then.
And I revealed the worst of it in black and white on my bio. But yeah, so what happened was at the peak of my days in Avatar Energy Mastery, I started having experiences time and again during peak periods of activity that suggested incredible things, you know. So at the peak of my own self-mastery, I abandoned my idea of being in communication with God, and I started embracing to the fullest the idea that, well, I am God, like the self is God. And an interesting thing that happened when I did that was spiritual warfare started to happen, and I can explain that metaphysically. So like attracts like, right? So if you start to go into this whole idea that you are God, and not like everybody's God, but like there's something special about you are God, and you are more God than anybody else, that's going to put you in communion or communication with other beings who have that same belief, right? Because like creates like. So at the peak of that path, I started encountering other beings while in my out-of-body travels and also during my spiritual connection inside of the body who have that same belief. And there's only two possibilities when two beings like that come across each other is they're going to fight and one of them's going to win. So that started happening to where I became heavily involved in extremely violent spiritual warfare.
Wow.
Both inside and outside of the body. And
it's, so you would astral project and come across these beings of a lower vibration?
Sometimes it would be in an out-of-body experience, but more of it happened while I was in the body. Because of my level of mastery, I am always able to perceive spirit. I don't need to be out of my body to be in spirit. I'm in spirit and physical reality at the same time. So I started having energetic warfare with spiritual beings from inside of the body. And it was very violent. In spiritual warfare, it's like an electromagnetic wrestling match from the inside out for dominion. Because we're all connected. We're all one. We are all connected through the oneness. But a negatively oriented being has a different take or a different spin on that oneness than a positively oriented being. A negatively oriented being has a mindset of, well, like, I'm God, I'm the creator. Everybody else is just a part of me. The universe is my plaything, my toy, my joy of self-expression, and it's my cake. I can eat it how I want. And the other beings outside of me, they're to be dominated. They're to be controlled. And so the negatively oriented consciousness is always seeking to be one with more consciousness and to overwhelm it magnetically, to dominate it in mind, body, and soul, and to subjugate it so that its spiritual mass becomes a part of its own. So that's what I got heavily involved in, and I was shockingly very good at it. And so at the peak of engaging in that, I became so spiritually violent, so negatively attuned, and I was fighting, you know, for my, not just your life, but it's a fight for your body, mind, and soul. Like that I became very short patience with people, easily agitated, and I started to just say the most god-awful things that you could imagine to people who would cross me in any way, shape, or form. I was very public about it. I've always been very public. I've never tried to maintain an image, or I've never been like what you would call a spiritual politician. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't, I've always tried to be who I am, in the open light. So for a brief period of time, I was an extremely negatively oriented consciousness that treated people in god awful ways. But that all ended. There was a moment within the spiritual warfare where nothing wanted to mess with me anymore, because I was very good at it. And once that happened, I had peace. And once I had peace, because I wasn't being attacked all the time, I remembered my true nature, which is alignment with God, which is, you know, to lift other people up. And the voice of God, the presence of God, came back into me and was very forgiving, very understanding, and centered itself within me and started telling me about the tree of life. The tree of life is a metaphysical construct that God holds for those who are ready and faithful. The tree of life is a new matrix. Like the nervous system of the human body is a matrix, which is circuitry that our consciousness is subjected to that allows us to perceive reality. Because in truth, there's only fluctuating waveform energy everywhere. Physical solid matter is a perception. Like people say illusion, but I don't like that, because it's real, but it's a mental construct. In truth, there's only morphogenic vibrating energy going all directions simultaneously everywhere. So this nervous system is a tree. And to use biblical type words, it's the tree of knowledge. It's the fruit that the human ate from that cast itself into physicality. So the tree of life is a set of metaphysical circuitry that God begins to manifest within your being that at first augments the nervous system and harmonizes it and brings it into higher alignment. But eventually, through what God has been teaching me, will replace the nervous system, and we will literally be anchored or fused in this new matrix, this new set of pathways that will finally allow our consciousness to experience a true shift, like a whole new earth entirely, a whole new universal expression.
Thank you. It's
you're welcome.
And I appreciate you being, you know, open about that, because it seems like in this world that everyone's all about protecting their image. No one wants to admit that they've done anything wrong. I mean, be open about stuff that I'm, you know, I always say I'm a perpetual work in progress, but it's amazing that you got to that point. And something just kind of stood out is when I'm looking at the world today, and, you know, maybe the reason why the evil is able to have more of an influence over people is because maybe people on the inside, or maybe they're losing that their morality. Because I remember growing up, I feel like the morality of the world was different. And now today, it's completely changed, not for the better. And maybe that's why evil's having a dominating presence, because how could it be able to be so strong if people weren't like this? Maybe the evil's growing because it's picking up other people like that. So I don't know.
Well, this is their time, so to speak. So what we're experiencing right now is a peak of the negatively oriented culture. So, the perversions in everything. I don't want to put labels on this, because my purpose is not to judge or to condemn, but there's a lot of perversion happening, and each person is free to conclude what exactly that is. I'm not going to delineate that. But what this is, it's a reflection of the morality of these high-level, negatively-oriented, incarnated spiritual beings. They're trying to bring about what they think their paradise, their idea of heaven would be. And they're at the peak of that because they're spending all of their power, their money, their resources. But not only that, but their etheric energy that they've accumulated through ritual and the depraved things that they do. So we're at a peak expression of it. And I'm not even slightly worried because you could see the pushback already. All that matters during this peak of their expression is that humanity rejects what it is that they're trying to be force-fed. And I see a large amount of that. If instead of tuning into the news or what this side says versus what that side says, if instead you just look at a Facebook post where one of these very controversial topics will be posted, scroll down through the 50, 60,000 comments, and it's overwhelmingly being rejected. Just no, we reject, reject, reject. And so that gives my heart all the calmness that I need to where I don't even care about them and what they're doing. I don't use any of the busyness of my mind to observe their plans, their theatrics, the next this, the next that. Instead, I'm more concerned about who we are and what we're doing, those of us that are choosing to be one with divinity, to be one with God, to be one with source. Those of us that are doing that naturally echo or mirror the prime directive of God, which is to nurture, to grow, to sustain, to elevate consciousness. So that's the positive interpretation of the law of one, that we are all connected. A positively oriented being sees this interconnection of all things. And well, it comes to a very, in my mind, it's child level wisdom that if I'm going to feel what other people are feeling, well, I'd rather they feel good. I would rather they were happy. And so the choice to be a nurturer, to me, just has to do with overcoming certain levels of immaturity that naturally happen as beings experience true power. It's very easy to be a good being when you don't have any power. It's very simple. The true test is how do you behave once you light up with a high level of either physical power, which would be money or strength or these things, or spiritual authority, where you just become a very potent creator. So I experienced that very natural human tendency to immaturely wield that power. So I'm understanding of this. And I also came in contact, spiritual warfare, so not just contact with the extraterrestrial consciousness that is working through the negatively aligned or oriented elders of our own.
Is that what David Icke talks about? Is that the reptilians?
Yeah. That's one branch of it. And I don't want to go too far into that, except to say that it exists. And what these are is very high level, unincarnated. That's what extraterrestrial is not incarnated, creator level consciousness. So they know the law of one. They're able to create worlds. They're even able to populate worlds with self-expression or fragments of their own being, and they perceive themselves as being the one, the only, the first, the last, the great I am. Like each of these separated, negatively oriented beings have that belief. They're just at an immature level of their own development. All they would have to do is succeed in their plans, completely dominate and subjugate the universe, have everything fear them to the nth degree and subject to their will. In a very short period of time, they would see that for the god-awful mistake that it is, and they would see that it's joyless, and they would also they would feel the weight of it, because they're in eternity. They're not incarnated, so they're not in time. So if they create hell for themselves, that's eternal. And there's no way to even describe from the finite perspective what that feels like. So in a very short order, they would rapidly mature. And in that maturity, they would make an authentic connection with the God, the creator that is above and beyond them, of which they are completely unaware. Because to a negatively oriented being, place and position, power and authority is only for one reason: to dominate, to control. That's all that makes natural sense to them. So it's beyond their wildest conception that there could be a being that dwells higher than they do that would not do the same to them that they do to other people. So they're completely unaware of God. It's not like they're against God. There's no such thing in reality. To be against God is to not know God. To know God is to be with God. God is the great higher self of all. And once you know your place within that, there's no other desire than to serve. But God will, in most cases, not make the introduction. You have to build that bridge and get close enough to where God deems it safe enough for the introduction to happen. The magnetism, the love, the strength, the power, the light of the one infinite creator is so vast. Its magnetic attraction is so overwhelming that if it were to reveal itself to a creature before that creature had grown into a sufficient level of those attributes in itself, that being would just literally go inside of God and disappear. And God, it would just go back to the source, and God would just be God, and there would be no individual being. So that's why this bridge has to be built. You have to climb yourself to a certain level of awareness, but God will work through entities that are closer to humanity, and there's a lot of them that are a part of the positive order of things that are like a stepping stone or an introduction to that. Like, they might have a vast amount of magnetism, a vast amount of light compared to a human, but not enough to disintegrate a human were they to communicate, you know, with them. So that's how all of that works and fits in. I know it's a lot of information.
I love it. Mr. Michael Monk, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. A very riveting, fascinating interview. And Michael is a world-renowned healer, teacher of spirituality, metaphysics, energy mastery with a focus and devotion to God. Wow, was there so much great information that was on this program today. You can learn more about Michael by going to his website at michaelmonk.bio. He's got some amazing courses. Highly recommend you sign up. And if you go and you check out some of his testimonials, I mean, some people will... He's got some of these really beautiful testimonials about what he's done. He's got a couple other courses, the Metaphysical Church of the Tree of Life, the Avatar Energy Mastery Institute. I mean, Michael, it was really amazing to have you on. Thank you so much for sharing your love, your wisdom, your passion. And I hope we find other people that continue to grow to push back against this evil. Hopefully we'll create a beautiful world.
We certainly will. I believe that with all my heart. And the heart is intelligent in ways that the brain can never be, and I know that we will succeed. I'm not even slightly concerned about that. My only concern on a day-to-day basis is to love God as much as I can in the moment, to be filled with the presence of that, and to share that out. To receive God within yourself is to share that light outward. So receiving becomes giving, and that's my focus on a day-to-day basis. You're very welcome. It's been an honor and a privilege to be here, and we can do it anytime again in the future, maybe especially after you take my courses that I offered you.
Yep, thank you. Okay, everyone, that concludes today's edition of the Out of Limits of Inner Truth Radio Show. Special thanks to our unbelievable guest, and special thanks, as always, to our virtues, Miss Carrie O'Connor, Miss Constance Dallas, and our associate producer, Jenny Lamisa. To learn more about the Out of Limits of Inner Truth, please go to our website at outoflimitsradio.com. And until the next time we meet, my friends, I wish upon you an abundance of peace, love, and beers. Take good care, and thank you so much for listening.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.